I think we've all been told advice that we should have listened to, that we ended up not listening to, that we had to learn through the school of hard knocks, through experiencing that problem ourselves and experiencing that failure ourselves before we really, really, really listened to it and really realized what that mentor, what that person was trying to tell us. And one of those lessons that I had learned years back from a mentor that I had to learn myself multiple times, not just once, was never outsource your marketing. Now, this isn't a broad blanket statement because there are certain parts of your marketing that you can outsource. And we're going to be diving into a little bit of this in this episode of the Carrot Cast. But frankly, that's not what this episode is about. This episode is about how do you crack through that clutter in this insanely crowded market in the real estate space. Whether you're a real estate investor, whether you're a real estate agent, you've got to be seeing the clutter that's out there because as markets increase, we talked about this in a few episodes ago in the Carrot Cast, as markets increase in value, what happens is more and more people want to jump into those markets, whether you're an investor, whether you're an agent, whether you're an agent who turned to be an investor 5 years ago because you couldn't sell houses and now you can't find deals, so you're flipping back over to be an agent. Markets are in these ebbs and flows, and we're currently in a cycle where there's a lot of agents and a lot of investors in the market. Okay. Now we're going to be talking about how do you cut through that clutter in a massive way. I brought this up in my prediction Carrot Cast where we talked about one of my predictions for this next 2 to 3 years, especially this year, is that as the market is more cluttered, it's going to be harder and harder for everyone to kind of jump out and get yours, right? So how do you get yours? And there's a lot of lessons I had to learn. Like, so one of the big ones, kind of going back to the start of this episode, was don't outsource your marketing. So I heard that from a mentor in about 2007. And I'm like, man, I'm never going to make that mistake myself, right? Never going to make that mistake. So I started to learn how to do marketing really well. And I dove in, and I've heard from many, many times, and you guys have probably heard the same thing, that no matter what business you're in, you're in the marketing business. You just happen to be marketing a different product. So if you're in the real estate business, you're not in the real estate business. You're actually in the marketing business. Your product is real estate. Okay. If you're a house wholesaler, you're not in the wholesaling business. You're in the marketing business. Your product that you're marketing happens to be real estate, and you're marketing to buyers and sellers. Okay. If you're selling shampoo, you're not in the shampoo business. You're in the marketing business. The product you happen to be marketing is shampoo to solve a very specific problem that your prospects have. Okay. So if we don't understand this, we're really going to have a tough time growing a business. We're really going to have a tough time scaling the business sustainably. And you're going to have an insanely tough time. If you have some successes, how do you keep those successes consistent? It's by becoming an amazing marketer. It's by being a student of marketing. How do you find the people that you can best help? How do you craft a message that delivers that message, that joins the conversation that's already going on in their mind on how you can solve their problem? And then how do you build the credibility around you, your business, your solution, that you are the one that can solve their problem, the one that they should work with? And we're going to be mainly focusing on that last segment on this episode of the Carrot Cast. We've had lots and lots of podcasts, guys and gals, on marketing. We had one recently on Facebook marketing. How do you get people from Facebook, specifically sellers, over to convert into leads and deals? We've had ones on content marketing. We've had ones on SEO, on pay-per-click. Okay, so we have plenty of calls on marketing. We'll probably do a call on deep diving into strategy on marketing. Okay, on something called market sophistication. We're going to do one on that here in some episodes of the Carrot Cast coming soon. But on this one, how do you cover that last part of that segment that I mentioned, that last part of your marketing problem of how do you become the one that they should work with, that you join that conversation in their mind that's already going on, that they realize you can solve their problem, and that you are the person they should work with over everyone else? Because in a market that's cluttered like this, that part of the segment is the part that's going to win. Okay, that part of the segment, the companies and the people who focus on that last part are going to be the winners. The people and the companies that focus just on the first part, on marketing, on how to find your prospect and get them to your message, if you just focus on that and not the back part, you're going to be massively competing against this clutter, and you're going to be wondering why your best competitors are beating you out. It's because you're paying for all that direct mail, paying for all that pay-per-click, paying for all that SEO, paying for all that marketing, whatever it is. And you're driving these prospects to a website, to a direct mail piece, to whatever, that's delivering a message that doesn't meet them where they currently are in their mind. and it doesn't build the case for why you and you only are the person that they should work with. So what they end up doing is they go to your competitors who do build that case. So let's dive in right now. So I love stories and I love being a student of marketing. I'm not sure if you guys do this or not, but I'm always looking out at different marketing pieces. So if I'm on Facebook, the main reasons I'm on Facebook are just to catch up with friends and to look at ads. Okay. And I know that sounds completely boring, completely crazy, but I love looking at ads. If I'm looking in magazines, if I'm, you know, looking in the newspaper, if I get a direct mail piece, it like really takes me back. I'm like, man, that is good. I took notice of that. I will save that direct mail piece, take it to my office. I have a big old filing cabinet that's just for these things that I put into my what's called a swipe file, okay, where you can put these good pieces of marketing that grabbed your attention into something where you can refer back to them later when you're creating your own marketing. So you're not having to come up with your own ideas from scratch. The best marketers in the world that I know all build what's called a swipe file, because they borrow things that are working from other industries, from other companies, and adapt them to their business. Okay. One of the best ones I've recently seen. So we're having an issue out here at my house. I'm actually recording this on a holiday, but I usually work and do the things I enjoy on the holidays. So recording this in our guest house, and we have a house on the river here in Oregon. It's a beautiful property. You know, we're just so lucky to have this property, but we're doing some renovations, and we had a massive, massive rainstorm this last October. And it was like the most rain I think that they had ever recorded in the month of October here in Roseburg, Oregon. And with that came a little landslide where part of our hillside slid off the hill down into the river. And it's really close to threatening our deck. Our house is fine. Okay. Our house is fine, but it's really close to threatening our deck, kind of toppling down into the river. And so what do? We pick up the phone, we call some friends, we call some people and say, hey, here's the situation. Do you know anyone who is good at this kind of thing? Okay. Then we dive into Google and we start to type in the types of things that we know that those types of contractors or engineers, would likely be putting on their websites or would likely be marketing themselves, you know, earth movement specialists, geotech engineers. There's other phrases like that. Okay. So we ended up finding a few companies. And we reached out to all of them, and we were so amazed by the experience that we had. This one company cracked through the clutter in such a massive way. And if you're a real estate investor and you don't take note on this, and you don't go, oh my gosh, this is something I can do in my market to massively crack through the clutter and beat my competition, then you're probably focusing on the wrong things. You're probably focusing on tactics versus strategy. Okay. So we're going to start with this story. Then we're going to dive into how you can do this in your market. How do you crack through the clutter in your market to be the trusted option in your market, whether you've done 1,000 deals or none? Okay. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's how you present to your prospect that builds the credibility, not what you've done in the past necessarily. Okay. What you've done in the past can help or hurt you, but it's how you present. So I get on the phone with these people. Actually, let me reverse back. I went to their website. Their website was very, very clear. This company, I'll just go ahead and call them out. The company's called Terra Firma, and it's a foundation company, but they do also a lot of other things. And through this process, I had a chance to meet the president and CEO of the company, Ryan. And I'm not sure, Ryan, if you are ever going to listen to this podcast, but I mentioned this on the call with you that, man, it's the best experience I have experienced with a construction company ever, and perhaps the best one I've experienced with any company in the past several months. So I submit through the online form just basic information about my product and my project. Within, you know, minutes or hours, I don't remember how much, I got a call from someone who's really, really friendly on the other end of the line. They walked me through some basic questions. So I'm sure they probably had some sort of a software and some sort of a script that asked good basic questions that got the project out of there. I already put a lot of stuff about the project in there. And then they proceed to take down my information. So what's the address? You know, what's your email address? What's your best phone number? Things like that. And we scheduled a time for the representative to come out to my house. Now, that is all stuff I expected. I'm not saying any of that stuff is revolutionary or new. Okay. And if you guys are already getting that kind of thing through your real estate investing with your buyers and sellers and tenants, awesome. You've got to be doing that, of course, to make deals do deals and make money. But what happened after that is what really cut through the clutter. So I got my appointment scheduled. And what the person said on the other line was, okay, you're going to be getting an email from us shortly outlining the process. If you have any questions, let us know. Okay. Your representative that's going to come out to your house is blah, blah, blah. They told me the name of the actual person who was going to come out to the house. And she said, you're also going to get an email from Drew walking through a little bit about his specialty and what he's going to be looking at when he's out there. So that's the first thing to take note on. Okay. They didn't just schedule a call and say, hey, we'll see you there. What they did is they recognized that between the time that I scheduled that call and the time the person actually gets out there, which was over a week away because of my schedule, not theirs, they knew that there was other opportunities for other competitors to jump in there and cloud that conversation. So what they did was they went, okay, how do I make sure that even though there is a time period between the time I just now talked to them and the time we're going to be out there seeing them, we need to make sure that we are the only viable option and that they do not make a decision on this project before they get to hear from us. Okay. We want to be the most credible and most, make sense off option for this client. So I get an email within an hour, okay, from that gal. That I was actually within minutes from that gal confirming my appointment and saying, you know, we will also call you 2 days before the appointment and the day of. So she was saying, we're going to call you twice before this appointment to make sure the appointment's still good and to see if you have any questions or if anything else came up. Okay, so that's the first thing. We're going to do multiple follow-ups to make sure you're there and to make sure nothing happened between now and the time we meet you. The next thing, later that night, I get an email from the guy who's actually going to come out there and meet with me, from Drew. And he says, hey, I'm Drew. I've been working here at Terra Firma for X amount of years. Here's my specialty, blah, 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 blah. I'm going to be coming out there. I heard about your project, you know, and it looks like these are the types of things. I may have a few questions. Is it okay if I give you a call before then? Okay. So part of it was, could have been automated. Part of it may have all been personal. I don't know. But it doesn't matter because it felt personal to me. Okay. So that was cool. And then the next day, 2 days later, because it was over a week, 2 days later, I open up my email box or my mailbox and I get a piece of mail. Okay. It's called a self mailer if you're familiar with the direct mail industry. And a self mailer is something that doesn't have an envelope. Okay. It's pieces of paper. It's a brochure or whatever it is that they end up folding or mailing by itself where there is no envelope required. So that cuts down on your mailing costs, but also it makes it to where the entire outside of that mailer, you guys can use for credibility. You guys can use to actually sell the opening of that mailing piece. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to scan this mailing piece and we're going to put it online next to the show notes of this Carrotcast. You guys can see what they have done to build this massive credibility piece. So they've not only set the stage that they're going to be reaching out to me. They reach out to me twice the day that I set up the appointment. The person who's actually going to come out there, now I know who he is. It's a face. I see a person. His face there on a signature line. There's no lack of knowledge on what I'm going to experience when Drew gets out there now. Okay. And then I get this mailing piece, like I said, and the mailing piece basically walks through Terra Firma's history. It walks through what they're about. It walks through what they feel that they're the best at. It showed a lot of before and after pictures, shows credibility and testimonials. It shows the main problems with foundations and with things like that and how their revolutionary, proprietary systems solve it. And it also threw it over the edge with their guarantee. They have a 75-year guarantee. None of the other competitors offered anything like that. Okay. So I get this mailing piece and I'm looking at it going, man, these people have their stuff together. You know, they have their stuff together. And so I left that mailing piece on my counter for several days and I popped back over and looked at them like, man, these people obviously know what they're talking about. They're very clear in the mailing piece. They're not going to be the cheapest. They're very clear in their mailing piece. One of the credibility points, if I remember it correctly, now don't quote me on this. I saw it somewhere. It may have been the mailing piece or somewhere else, that they do say that they're not the cheapest. Okay. But they do say that they have had to go back and fix other companies' mistakes who went cheap. And then they went in there and fixed them and they have their 75-year guarantee. And if you work with them, you'll never, ever have to worry about a mistake because they guarantee it for 75 years. Okay. So that's how they're pre-selling or pre-framing the entire experience with their client before they ever walk in the door to talk to us. Can you imagine going up against that company as a competitor if all that you're doing is taking a phone call, setting up an appointment, and showing up to that appointment? That's what 9.5 out of 10. It's an official statistic, by the way. That's what 9.5 out of 10 real estate investors are doing. And agents as well. You're setting up a phone call. You're setting up an appointment. You go, awesome. We're golden. We've got an appointment. But then what do you do in between that appointment, or between the time you set the appointment and the time you actually go to the appointment, to make sure that you pre-sell that client why they should work with you, and to make sure that no other competitors squeeze their way in that conversation before you have a chance to get and meet with them? That's a biggie. That's a biggie. Okay. I was down in San Diego about a month and a half ago, and it was at a real estate event. I really don't go to many real estate events at all, maybe once a year, but this one I had a chance to speak at. And on the last day of the event, there's a marketing guy named Frank Kern. I'm not sure if you guys have heard of him before, but he's not a real estate guy at all. He's 100% a marketing guy. And he even said, I'm not a real estate guy, but what I do know is marketing, and I know psychology. I know how to break down processes to ensure that you have the best chance of winning as a company. And what he did during that session was he broke down every single step and stage in the process of doing a real estate deal. And I don't care if you're a real estate agent or an investor or whatever, there's always stages in every single deal, right? You create the marketing, you get it out there, you get your lead. What do you do with the lead? You follow it up. Okay, you get on the phone, you set an appointment. What happens between then and the appointment? And during that session, all the investors in the room, the experienced investors, had identified with Frank about two spots, maybe three spots that had high leverage to possibly increase the performance of your overall funnel. And one of those spots was, once you set up an appointment, what do you do between the time you set up the appointment and you actually have it to ensure that the appointment remains, and that you pre-sell your own service and your own offer before you even get there? In your own company before you even get there. Okay, so that's exactly what Terra Firma is doing in their own business. Okay, and then what happened was, kind of bouncing back to our situation here, Drew, the dude came out there, awesome, he delivered his service, they stayed in good communication. Our project ended up being a little bit more complicated, so it got passed up to the CEO of the company, who gave me a call. Okay, so that's what happened with that experience. Now, I'm going to stop there because I'm going to reverse back and make sure you guys understand what I'm doing here. Then I'm going to go through how you can do certain things like this in your own business. To what does credibility actually mean? You know, why do so many investors and agents focus on tactics versus strategy when this type of market, guys and gals, is a market that requires strategy, to cut through the clutter. Okay, a new marketing tactic or a fancy Facebook ad or, you know, this really cool direct mail piece, I'm not saying it's not going to work, but what I am saying is that's not cutting through the clutter in a massive way. Those can help you cut through the clutter if you use them in conjunction with these types of things I'm going to be talking about on this call. Okay. So what is the problem? You know, the problem is it's really hard to stand out in a competitive market like this, where there's a lot of clutter in the competition, more agents joining the market every day, more investors joining the market every day. Okay. You're doing direct mail. You're doing paid pay-per-click traffic. Look at your numbers today versus 3 years ago. My guess is your direct mail response numbers are way lower than they were a few years ago. So you're probably having to send many times more direct mail pieces to get the same reply, which isn't a problem. If it's ROIing for you, awesome. Keep doing it, because your competitors who don't know their numbers are probably going to stop because they go, oh my gosh, direct mail isn't working anymore. So they stop the spend while you're ramping your spend up because you know your numbers. Okay, same thing with pay-per-click. We see that all the time. Okay, but the main difference that we see in what's working today is the credibility that comes after the ad, the credibility that comes after the direct mail piece. When I was down in San Diego at that same event, we were talking with some of our customers, and there were actually two of them from the same market there in Boise. And one of them, Dan, has been a client of ours for a couple of years, doing very, very well with us, closing very consistent deals. The online side of his business is one of the most consistent and profitable sides of his business now, and before it was literally zero part of his business. And then there's another client, awesome people, that were in that same market doing very similar things on the traffic generation side, but not getting similar results. You know, they had invested a bunch of money into pay-per-click, and they just had not got the results, and they were using Carrot as well. So what gives? What's the difference? They were using the exact same Carrot design. They're in the same market. They had someone who was experienced running their ads. It wasn't us, but it was someone who I know is experienced. So what was the difference? Well, I took a look at their websites, the two websites, And the one that was getting results had built credibility where you land on the site and you can tell it's a clean professional business. They've been in business for years. They've done deals. They have great credibility built in there. You can tell who's behind the company. All of the photos are not stock photos. They're updated with unique ones to that business. And the other website had done some stuff. They had done some basic updates and, you know, some basic branding stuff, but they really hadn't kind of taken it that next step and built out that credibility. And a lot of people look at it and go, well, shoot, that's not going to make that big of a difference. You know, you would think if it's the same market and all those ads, that wouldn't have made it that big of a difference if they're using the same website framework as in Carrot. But the thing is, guys and gals, your prospects do not operate in a silo. They do not operate in a bubble where they don't see your competition. Okay. Are some of your prospects never going to come across your competition? Heck yeah, some of them. If you found an amazing direct mail list and you got them a great piece of direct mail, and yours was the one that cut through that clutter and they just decided not to look at any other ones, or maybe yours is the only one that landed on their doorstep, then awesome. You are the choice for them. Or if someone did a Google search and decided just to click on one of those search results or one of the pay-per-click ads, which most people don't do, most people click on a few to do research, then awesome. Okay. But in this case, let's say you're a seller in the Boise market and you do a search and you've got competitor A and competitor B. And I click on 2-3 websites. They all seem to be set up great on mobile. They all seem to look like this and like that. But one of them just doesn't have all the marks ticked. You know, one of them for some reason just doesn't feel right. And oftentimes that's what we as consumers do. We don't really know why we made a decision oftentimes. We don't really know why we went with this company or why we did this sometimes. Okay, many times we do. But oftentimes, it's like, you know, there's that feeling, there's a gut feeling that this company over this one can probably serve me better, that this company over this one is resonating with me better, that this company over this one seems more credible. Now, I'm going to be talking about on this episode here, my framework for positive and negative credibility and how to come up with your own credibility score. And I do this every single time I look at a website to really diagnose how to ramp it up or what's wrong with it. Okay, but we're really in the age of credibility and trust. 5-6 years ago, we were in the age of if you have great website and great ads and you're not a doorknob, you can probably get some decent results. But now, you know, we're in a market where it's really cluttered, where the call is no longer get online and you have an advantage. Everyone's already online. The call is now, okay, you're online. Awesome. Make sure it's mobile responsive and looks amazing on mobile. Beautiful. And also, you know what? You need to make sure that you jump out and separate yourself from the crowd because I have a lot of choices now. Okay, one of my favorite quotes in the world that I follow and I kind of inject back into my mind as many times as I can throughout the years from Steve Martin, the comedian Steve Martin. And Steve says, be so good. Oh, actually, let me reverse. Someone asked him, you know, Steve, how did you make it in this business? How did you make it as a comedian? How did you make it in the entertainment business? Because it's so competitive. And it's like a 1 in a million chance. And Steve, and they're like, did you do something special? What did you do to learn better jokes or whatever? And Steve said, you know what? My secret of success is to be so good that they can't ignore you. And that's simple. To be so good that they can't ignore you. What can we do as entrepreneurs? What can we do as investors to be so damn good that your prospects cannot ignore you as a viable option to solve their problem in a credible way? That's what Terra Firma did for me. Okay, even if their price, I mean, if their price is a little bit higher than the competitors, you can better believe I'm going with Terra Firma because of all the credibility they built up, because it looks like they're going to support me because of that 75-year guarantee. Okay, so they're being so damn good that I can't ignore them. I would get 5 or 6 other quotes from other companies, and I right now would feel mentally that I would have to wait to get Terra Firma's quote before I made a decision. Because they presented themselves in a way that really cut through the clutter. How are you doing that? Are you being so good they can't ignore you? Are you being ignorable? Most real estate investors, most agents are very ignorable. They're doing what everyone else is doing. Okay, you're doing what the guy over here is doing. Okay, you're picking up the phone and cold calling all the time. What are you doing on that cold call? What are you doing on that cold call to crack through that clutter to be so good they can't ignore you? What are you doing on your website to crack through that clutter and be so good that they can't ignore you. Okay. This is really about business strategy, guys and gals. That's one of the biggest mistakes that we see here at Investor Care, and I see in my mentoring and consulting businesses, that most people are always looking for tactics. And I can say that myself included, this was me for, you know, several years in my business where I always thought, man, I'm going to look for that crazy, sexy little tactic, that pay-per-click thing or that conversion thing or this little plugin or this or that or these two words to say, you know, when I have someone that's going to close them. And tactics are great. Tactics are great. Okay. I love tactics too. But strategy is what wins the game. Okay. If you go to war, if you look back to many of the greatest battles in history, those were not won by tactics. They were won by the strategy of the battle. Okay. By creating these flanks and going over to this side and flanking that side and this and that and then trapping them. And that was the strategy. How the people actually adapted during the strategy, during the war, were the tactics. Okay. So if we're not being strategic in our business, if we're just going about it going, okay, I'm going to be an agent, I'm going to be an investor. And they say, I need to do this. I need to do some pay-per-click ads. I need to launch a website. I need to do some direct mail. I need to, go out there and ask my friends and family if they know anyone who is looking to buy or sell a house. Those are all amazing stuff. But what is your strategy and how you beat your competition? What happens when those prospects actually come to you? And what is your strategy to stand out? If you're looking at tactics, you're on the wrong path. If you're not winning the game already and you're looking at more tactics, you probably should pull back and look at what is my strategy to win this market. Okay. And the problem is, like I said, most people think if I only do this marketing trick or add this to my website, I'll be golden. But, you know, but really being the most trusted and credible source to solve their problem is a business strategy. Okay. This should be part of all of your business. There's several clients that come to mind. We did an episode of the Carrot Cast way back when. Go find it. It's with Martin Bonesire. He's a former Olympian turned real estate investor, does 10 to 20 plus deals now a month in multiple markets. And in there, he really talks about how he is making offers that are lower in the market of Phoenix, that are lower than his competitors, but he's winning the deals. So you might ask yourself that question. How is a guy in a crazy competitive market where four or five other investors are making offers for these same people, how is he coming in with a lower offer and winning? It's not the tactic, guys and gals, it's the strategy. Okay, he's building more trust in his follow-up process. He's showing up to these meetings on time. He's delivering himself in a package and in a process that looks credible. They've got their polo t-shirts on with their logo. They've got their credibility kit that they talk with their client with there in person. They have good follow-up. They set appointments. They stand by those appointments. Their strategy is to be the most trusted and credible in the business, in their market. It even goes so much to the fact that they name their company that, the trusted home buyer. Okay, that's their strategy. That's why they're winning, because people, more often than not, they want to trust the person they're working with, not just get the best deal, not just get the best offer. If you're going online and you're looking to buy a TV and you just find the place that looks like it's got the cheapest price, but you're like, man, I'm not sure if this website's legit. You know, there's some weird kind of things that are jumping out to me, which I'm going to be talking about this here later, which is your mental credibility score that we all subconsciously do. I'm going to show you guys how to kind of figure out your own credibility score. But we're all always sizing up the businesses or people we work with, or even spouses, potential spouses or friends or whatever, right? So what are you doing? How are people sizing you up? But if you're going to buy that TV, like I said, and there's a cheaper TV over here, but this one over here, it's a little bit more expensive, but man, you can tell they're legit. You know, they've got the security symbols on their website. You do some Google searches to see reviews of the company. The reviews seem solid. The way that the website looks just looks clean. There's nothing off that is visually off-putting, even small things. So you end up making the decision to spend more money on that TV, even though you can get it cheaper over here, because of the overall credibility, the subconscious credibility element that you injected into that buying process. Well, our sellers and buyers are doing the same thing. There's a company out there that many of you guys have probably heard of called Open Door. And Open Door is a Silicon Valley tech company funded with tons of money. I don't remember how much money to date that they've raised, but it's tens of millions, if not 100 plus. I'm not sure. Okay, but it's a big company now. And according to their website, they've worked with 4,000 plus homeowners just in the past 2 or 3 years. That's a lot of deals. That's a lot of transactions. Okay. Whatever that is, that's on the buyer side and seller side. Okay. So why are so many people working with Open Door? It's not because they have better ads. It's not because, you know, they are making higher offers. Sometimes their offers may be lower. It's because the overall subconscious credibility element that they're putting out there in their marketing, their business strategy is trumping their competitors. Their business strategy is to be crazy transparent on their pricing. They tell you exactly how they're going to come to the price that they offer you. Okay. They're not saying, hey, let us know and we'll give you our best offer. Then they tell them their best offer like most investors do, but don't really back it up with why and how they came to that. That's a fair and logical way that makes sense to the seller. Okay. They say, this is exactly what we're going to charge you as a percentage rate on the value of your home. Okay. The full market value of your home. Then they say if you're in a part of the town that has a higher risk factor where it might be harder to sell the house or whatever, then we're going to add this much more percentage to it. Just go to their website, opendoor.com, and check it out. You also go there, guys and gals, and it's crazy, crazy clean website. Okay, there's no pixelated logos on their website. There's not a bunch of stock photos everywhere. There are some stock photos they use, but they're good quality ones. Okay. They're crazy transparent with their pricing, with their model. They tell you how it works. They tell you what's going to happen. They have good testimonials on there. Okay. And their business strategy is to make it easier and more streamlined for someone to get an offer on their home that's fair without having to list it with an agent or work with, you know, what they consider a fly-by-night investor who isn't actually buying the home. So if you're a wholesaler, how do you make sure that your advantage in that marketplace is not getting eroded by a company that says, you know what, don't work with wholesalers, only work with people who can buy the house directly? What do you need to do to crack through that clutter? What story do you need to tell that shows that your service is a viable option that can really insanely help that prospect? Express Home Buyers. Okay, they're another client of ours. Did a podcast with Brad Chandler several episodes back talking about how they've gotten to the point to where they've bought over 3,000 homes now. Okay, they have a strategy. It's not just all the tactics. They have insane follow-up. They have a great team that's tackling that stuff. They have great people on the phone. They say that you can get your offer, you know, in under 7 minutes or 7 hours or 7 days or whatever it is. I can't remember. Go to their website. But all of their ads are spouting the exact same messaging. Okay, you listen to their TV ad and you go to their website. You listen to their radio ad and you go to their website. It's the exact same messaging. It's not all over the place. They've thought it through. Okay, Carrot, now let's reverse back to us. We've been insanely intentional about our strategy the whole time with this business. And it's a strategy that we felt was really desperately needed in this market. Okay, that people were online. They felt that, you know, man, I'm online. That's all I need to do. But what we were finding was people were online, but not getting the results that they needed or should get in their business or the ROI they should get because they don't know what they're doing as far as web conversion and SEO and pay-per-click and all that stuff goes. They thought, man, if I just throw up a website on Wix or Weebly, or if I copy my competitors, or even if I look at a Carrot website and try to emulate it, man, I'm going to be set in the conversion side. But if you're not testing stuff all the time, if you're not tweaking stuff all the time, if you're not a conversion expert and have ran thousands of tests, you're probably going to be behind the people who are. If you're not an SEO expert and you haven't been doing this for years, how are you going to know exactly what you need to do to rank higher? Well, that's what we do, and we can help our clients do that. Okay, so our strategy is to help our clients get a higher ROI out of their online marketing than any other platform out there in the world. And our clients who actually engage our services and our help are doing that and are seeing that. So our tactic isn't, man, let's create a better ad. That's how we get our strategy and get our message in front of people. Our strategy is, what message is it that we're putting out there to people, and how do we deliver that message to our prospects? Okay. So there's this research center at Stanford called the Stanford Web Credibility Research Center. And we've talked about this quite a bit in a lot of other episodes of the Carrot Cast and many webinars, but you guys should check it out. There is a list of 10 things that they have looked at that, according to all of their data and all of their stuff, basically says that, hey, this is what people are looking for and looking at when they're on a website, and how you build credibility on it. Okay. And I'm just going to kind of buzz through some of these, but you can just Google it yourself, the Stanford Web Credibility Research Center. And I'm just going to kind of go through this list. Okay. So the first thing, make it easy to verify the accuracy of the information on your website. That's pretty obvious, right? But a lot of people don't do that. A lot of people are kind of trying to hide behind their marketing because they think, man, marketing is what's that this tactic is going to set me free. But the strategy, guys and gals, is wrong. Okay. What they say is you can build website credibility by providing third-party support, like citations, references, for information you present, especially if you link, blah, blah, blah. Okay. What's number two? Show that there's a real organization behind your website. Okay. Showing that your organization is for a legitimate, or showing that your website is for a legitimate organization will boost the site's credibility. The easiest way to do this is by listing a physical address, they say. So how many people have PO boxes that they're using for their business instead of a physical address that you can walk into? Now, I'm not saying that you have to have a physical address that you can walk into, because if you're working out of your home still, awesome. Just do what you've got to do. Find the ways you can build credibility in a website now, and then just always strive to find ways to improve it. Okay. So as you get an office down the road, beautiful, then add your physical address. But if you don't have that right now, don't let that stop you. Okay. Other features can also help, such as posting a photo of your offices or listing a membership with the Chamber of Commerce. Beautiful. Okay. So once again, I'm not saying that you have to do all these, guys and gals, so don't let these be a block for you. We have a lot of people seeing tons of success not having a physical address in their website, but they're compensating with building these other elements in there. Okay. So don't think you've got to have all of these. These are just the things that they have found that create the most credibility and trust. Okay. Number three, highlight the expertise in your organization and in the content and the services you provide. Okay. Do you have experts on your team? Okay. Be sure to give their credentials. Are you affiliated with respected organizations? Make it clear. Okay. And also, conversely, don't link to outside sites that are not credible. Your sites become less credible by association. So even if you're a brand new investor and have never done a deal, you have some sort of expertise that makes you think that you can go out there and do a deal. Okay. And if you don't, you should probably go out there and find a mentor, go research, go do something like that. Okay. If you haven't done a deal yet, find a coaching program like Tom Kroll's at Investor Grit. They're amazing at helping you get your first deal done. Okay. Show that honest and trustworthy people stand behind your site. The first part of the guidance or the guideline is to show that there are real people behind the site and organization. Okay. Next, find a way to convey their trustworthiness through images or text. For example, some sites post employee bios that tell about families or hobbies. Some of our most successful clients' websites have that. And if you guys are thinking, no one looks at that stuff, no one cares about it, you are massively, massively mistaken. According to our data, and we've published this many, many times, the number two or number three most visited web pages on all of our Carrot clients' websites, which is hundreds of thousands of visits per month, millions of visitors per year. The number two or number three most visited page on all of the sites, no matter what type of site, buyer, seller, tenant, doesn't matter, is the about page. Is because people land on your homepage or wherever else, they get the information, they go, okay, it seems like these people can solve my problem, or at least it's, they have a service that it looks like it. But are these people credible? Who are these people? That's what people are doing. They're going to your about page, and then they're going, I want to see if these people are real, if I connect with them. Okay, number five, make it easy to contact you. A simple way to boost your site's credibility is by making your contact information clear, your phone number, your physical address, your email address. On our websites, we already build that stuff in there. That's why we build it in. So many of these things, guys and gals, as we were going through and developing Carrot over the years, we've built and automated in a majority of these things in there. So it really gives you an advantage being a Carrot customer. Then you just have to go in there and personalize it, right? So you're all of this stuff is built into your sites that we can build in. All that personal information that comes from you guys has to come from you guys, or you guys can let us know, we can help you with it. Design your site so it looks professional, okay, or is appropriate for your purpose, okay? The reason they say that is we have tested as well, guys and gals, that the websites that convert the best don't always look the prettiest and most professional, okay? It's the ones that connect with the prospect the best, okay? So what people oftentimes do is they think, oh my gosh, I think this thing looks really pretty, and this must be the best thing for my business. But if you haven't tested it against other things and really know with data, odds are your website may not be converting very well at all if you made a really, really pretty looking website, if the messaging doesn't connect to them, if the credibility doesn't connect to them, okay? But you need to make it look professional. So it needs to be clean. It needs to be easy to get through your navigation. Your navigation needs to be set up in a very make sense way, which I haven't, we don't have time to talk about this in this call, but we have, with science, we have developed the ideal navigation flow on our websites backed by science and data, okay? Is it looking great on mobile? You know, most websites, even if it's a mobile responsive website, look like garbage on mobile. Okay. Almost 60% of all the leads now that are coming through investor care websites are through cell phones. So if you are questioning how important the mobile, your website and mobile devices is, most of your leads are likely coming from mobile devices. Okay. Especially if you're doing anything on Facebook. Okay, so how well is your website set up to perform on mobile, not just be mobile responsive? We have resources that walk through this. If you guys go to oncarrot.com/resources, we have a free training that walks through exactly how you need to design your website on mobile devices. Okay. Next thing, make your site easy to use, make it useful. That's content. Are you building out content? Are you building out articles? Are you building out resources? Are you making it easy for people to navigate? Are you making it easier for people to call you and find your information when they get to the bottom of your web pages? On the bottom of all of our web pages, we always put a call to action, because when someone gets to the bottom of a page, you need to make sure that you're not making them guess what they should do next. Okay, so guide them on what they should do next. Either call you or submit their information on that form, or opt in for a free report if they're really digging for information. Update your site's content often. At least show that it's been reviewed recently. So for those of you who aren't doing any type of blogging, even if you don't care about SEO, for the sake of credibility, update your website often. If you guys are Investor Carrot members, we have our Content Pro system, which you can post a weekly blog post on there that our team writes, that we optimize for SEO well, that we have calls to action on there. You can even personalize it if you want to. But that right there makes sure that your website is updated often. Even if you don't give a crap about SEO, there's a credibility and performance reason to do that, to have content. Okay. 9, use restraint with any promotional content. Do not put ads on your websites, guys and gals. Now, some of my favorite investor care customers, Daniel, I'll call you out on this, man, have sometimes kind of crammed your websites with ads. I'm like, oh man, don't do that, because we're in such a high margin business that trying to squeeze out an extra dollar or $50 a month on Google AdSense in exchange for losing credibility, which could lose you a $5,000 or $10,000 or $20,000 deal, just doesn't make sense. So get rid of ads on your website, unless your ads are specifically geared to sell the service that you're trying to sell on that website. Okay, the last, avoid errors of all types, no matter how small they seem. Funny I'm saying this, because just this morning, it looks like we rolled out a page on our website. Okay, on our website, guys and gals, this is just a good learning lesson. And we didn't spell check it, it looks like. And we had a prospect who hit us up on email and said, hey, you know what, guys, I've heard a lot of good things about you. I'm looking to switch over from another platform. But I'll tell you the truth, I saw two typos in this one page, and it doesn't make me feel very good about what's to come after that. And I'm like, oh man, sometimes those small things, you know, can be a big difference. So make sure that you're reviewing those things and that there's not any typos. Okay. But anyway, so that's your credibility. That's kind of that web credibility thing. So what are you guys doing in that list to really crack through the clutter? Well, credibility, let me kind of define credibility for you guys. Okay. Credibility does not necessarily mean the person who has the most experience. And that's something that a lot of newer investors kind of get stuck on. It's, oh man, how am I going to be the most credible source when I've never done a deal, or I've done one or two up against these guys who've done 3,000? There's no way. How do I, you know, it's this uphill climb. Well, the way you do it is that you just need to exhibit the things that most make your prospects believe that you can help them and are trustworthy, and you need to connect with them. Okay. It doesn't matter if you've done 0 deals or 100. If you're better connecting with your prospect in your marketing, showing that you're a real person, showing that you do have the skill set to solve their problem, whether you've done it 1,000 times or none, you have the skill set to solve their problem, and you've built up that you are a legitimate, credible resource, you're going to win business. Okay. So as I go through and look at people's marketing campaigns, as I go through and look at people's businesses, their websites, I'm mentally almost like chalking up a credibility score. Okay. And this is something that just in the past 6 months, I've really started to codify. And we're going to be creating a blog post on this, a resource on this. We don't have it out yet, but I'm kind of testing it on this podcast. That internally, every time we start to dive in with someone on why their marketing may or may not be working, we then start to look through and tabulate a mental credibility score. Okay. We almost like give it a plus one, negative one for everything that is a mental or a negative or positive credibility. And a lot of something that people don't realize is there is positive and negative credibility. Okay. As an example. So let's say that you're driving down the street and there's two restaurants. There's one on the left side of the street and one on the right side of the street. Okay. The one on the right side of the street, the parking lot's packed. There's people all over that parking lot. You can tell that that place is busy. Okay. The restaurant on the left side of the street looks like the same restaurant. The outside looks amazing. You know, everything looks great about it. They have great specials on the board, but there's only one car in the parking lot and they're definitely open. The one on the right side gained credibility because it showed that other people believed that their product was great enough to have the parking lot be full when there's a perfectly acceptable restaurant right across the street. The restaurant to the left has negative credibility marks now because their parking lot was empty. So if you are that restaurant, how do you increase your credibility score? Dude, I would rent cars. I would invite everyone to say, hey, park in my parking lot. Okay. That other parking lot across the street for the restaurant, I would say, hey, park in our parking lot. We don't care if you park in our parking lot and go and eat the other place. Cause if the other place is packed and it shows that there's cars in our parking lot, people are going to come eat over here. Okay. Do things to show that there's action. So very few things in credibility, guys and gals, are neutral. Very few things are neutral. Okay. And what I mean by that, a lot of people put up social media profiles. So let's say you put up your Facebook, a link to your Facebook page, to your Twitter page, your LinkedIn page or something. And this is one thing that we look at when we're going through clients' websites to see how we can increase their credibility score to really crack through that clutter in the market. And a lot of people will put up social media because they think, man, I've got a social media profile. This is going to help me, right? And not always. Many times social media profiles can actually reduce your credibility. You might ask how. Well, what I do is I click through to them and act like I'm a prospect. And the only reason someone would click through to your social media profile as a prospect is to learn more about you, to see what you're up to see more about what is at the fabric of your business. Okay. And what they expect to see on Facebook is action. They expect to see interactions. They expect to see a personal touch. They don't expect to see a bunch of sales pitches. Okay. What they expect to see in LinkedIn is a professional profile, is someone who has shown that they have professional credentials to help me do what I need done. Okay. So when I click through to LinkedIn, is your LinkedIn profile built out and full? Do you have connections who are endorsing you on there? Do you have people who are giving you credibility and testimonials? Do you have a well thought out, you know, well built out description of you? Do you actually have a picture of yourself on there or of your company? Or is it this ugly looking graphic that is this wacky logo? Okay. If it's a logo, awesome. Make sure the logo is clean on there. Okay. If I go to Facebook, is the last post on there from 4 months ago? Is every post on there very impersonal, very just kind of reposting my blog post with nothing else in between? Do you have two likes on there? Do you have 10 likes? Do you have 15 likes? Okay. Are there no reviews? Does it show your contact information? Is there a clear, solid picture that's at the top of your Facebook profile that looks clean, that's clear, that's not this hacked together, hacked together piece of crap image? Is your logo clear in the profile image? Okay, those are all things that can help build credibility or reduce credibility just from your Facebook profile. So if you're going to use Facebook as a link to your website, make sure it's updated recently within the past several weeks, you know, at the minimum. Make sure you go drive some people over there to give you some good reviews. Make sure you get at least 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 dozen likes on there. If you don't, remove your Facebook link from your website. Remove your LinkedIn link from your website if you don't have a well-built-out profile with at least 20 to 40 connections and endorsements. Okay? Now, how do you get those? You ask people for them. You go out there and hustle. Okay? But those things could be credibility positives. They could actually build your credibility, build the case for why people should work for you. Okay? Or they could reduce your credibility. Right? Testimonials. A lot of people put testimonials on their websites. We have found it's one of the most engaged with spots on on our heat maps on our websites. When people see testimonials, they want to go through there and engage with them. Okay. But one of the problems that we see with testimonials, we put out tutorials on this before, and every time we see them on our clients' websites, we adjust them. Or if we do what's called our concierge setups, where we work with higher end investors, we do all their formatting and content for them for a higher price. We always make sure their testimonials are formatted and look amazing. But what a lot of people will do is they'll take a testimonial, they'll just copy and paste it under their website, and it's all one big block of text. There's no pictures. The person, they don't even have the person's full name. It's like T period K, you know, just initials. They don't have a headline at the top of the testimonial, so it grabs your attention on what that testimonial is really going to sell me on. Okay, so make sure your testimonials are good. And go online, go onto our YouTube channel and look up how to format a testimonial. And there's a video on there where I walk you through it, and that's a massive, massive deal. Pictures that you use, okay, are they helping or hurting? A lot of people go and find some find stock images that obviously look like stock photos. Get rid of those on the website. If you're a Carrot customer, we put those photos in the website as placeholders because we know that we can't go out there and automate a way to find personal photos that are specific to your market, right? So what we do is we put those as placeholders, but we highly suggest that you go and just find some good photos of houses that are in your market, some good photos of houses that you've done, of testimonials, of things like that. Okay. And swap them out. Because as someone goes through a website, if they see a bunch of stock photo looking images, they can tell are stock photo images. Those start to be negative credibility marks. And every single negative credibility mark, whether it's your social media profiles and then a wacky looking testimonial or no testimonials, some of the pictures looked off or just clearly stock photos, those start to add up. And if those start to add up, at some point your prospect is going to subconsciously decide, well, I'm not sure that this website's going to really be the people that are going to help me. Okay, then they're going to go to someone else's website, and it can look 80 or 90% the same, but they might have had just a couple testimonials that were really good testimonials. They might have had a social media profile that had some action, but they deleted the other one because they weren't using the other one. They weren't using Twitter, so they deleted it because they knew it was going to reduce credibility. Okay, and all the pictures were updated. Now, this person, let's say, maybe hadn't even done a deal, or maybe they had done deals, but they're like, man, I forgot to get pictures of that property. So what we do, guys, go type in the address of that property into Google Maps, okay? Find the street view of that actual property in Google Maps and take a screenshot of that property. Okay, then take that screenshot, bring it over to your website. Now you have a picture of that property that you did a deal on. Or if you haven't done any deals, you have a picture of a property that represents the types of properties in your actual market that you would buy. And now you have unique photos on your website that are in your market that build believability and build credibility and trust that give you positive credibility scores. Okay, what about your logo and graphics and branding? A lot of people really, really discount these. They think, you know what, I'm just going to go throw this crappy little thing up there or go to Fiverr and get this little thing. Your logo is like one of the very first things that people see that represents your business, okay? And if we're not serious enough to go out there and at least spend a little bit of energy creating something very simple and clean for your branding, then you're probably going to have a tough time really building a real business. Now, I'm not going to say that you can't do deals, okay? And I'm not going to say that getting a logo should be in your first five priorities of your business, okay? But what you can do is make it really simple, okay? Some of the most iconic businesses out there, guys and gals, have the simplest logos, you know? Actually, going back to that Open Door example, go to their website. Open Door's logo is just words. There's no picture, but it's very, very clean words, okay? It's a very clean font type, okay? So that's the difference. There's it looks good and it looks right in that spot on that website, in that branding. Does your branding, does your logo look good and look right and look clean? Is it pixelated? If so, that's a negative credibility mark. Does it have a weird graphic next to it? If so, negative credibility mark. Are the letters in it, so letters and words in your logo so small that it's hard to read them? If so, negative credibility mark. Okay. So all these things start to stack up in our minds that are positive or negative credibility marks. And just go through your website or through your marketing, just do a plus one, negative one, plus one, negative one, plus one, negative one on everything. Okay. And if it isn't actually building credibility, likely it's taken away. And these are subconscious things. And it takes some practice. It takes some practice. Okay. Because from the outside in, I can totally look at someone else's website. But oftentimes it's hard to see those things on our own business because we created those things. So ask someone else to come in there. and give you, be nitpicky on plus one, negative one on your website, plus one, negative one on all of your marketing, and then come up with that credibility score. And we don't really have a codified, you know, scale on what's a good credibility score or not. We're going to be coming up with that, but it's something that we're always looking at these things. And more often than not, the people who are not getting the performance, the people who are not cutting through the clutter in the market, have more negatives than positives on there. Okay. Let's go back to Terra Firma, this local construction company example. They created so much massive positive credibility that I couldn't ignore them. Okay. And I could find very little negative credibility at all, if any. They really thought through their process. Okay. Okay. And this relates to everything, not just real estate investors. You go into a grocery store. Okay. You're subconsciously sizing up everything. You're looking at the aisles. You're looking at the signage. Is the signage clear? Is it helping me get where I want to go? Are the floors clean? Do the people who work here, are they wearing similar uniforms so I can find them? Are they dirty? Are they well kept? Okay. Is the fruit and vegetables, what do those look like? You know, what's the parking lot look like? Is the parking lot all ratty and they haven't sealed it in a while and there's holes and potholes everywhere? Those are all negative and positive credibility marks that are going to cause me to make a decision on whether I want to work in and whether I want to buy from that grocery store or not, that auto dealership or not, that online website or not. Okay. So here's some how-tos, guys and gals. What's the overall impression of your website and company? Nail that. Go through there and start to do plus one, negative ones. And we need to crack through that clutter, because even if you have the best website, the best marketing materials in the world, if people aren't having a good first impression of your business once they got your direct mail piece or they clicked on your ad, then your ad spend is going to be going through the toilet. Okay. What do you see when you Google your own company name and city? Okay. So if your company name is ABC Properties and you're in a city like Atlanta, I would probably go to Google and type ABC Properties Atlanta and then see what pops up in Google. Cause that's what your prospects are searching when they're looking to vet and verify that you're a good company to work with. Okay. That's what they're searching when they see your direct mail piece. That's what they're searching after they land on your website. And then add in the word reviews. So ABC Properties Atlanta reviews and see what pops up. If you're not controlling that conversation, we teach you how to do this in some of our webinars. And we codified this into what I call the conversation marketing. The core conversation. It's called the core conversation. At the core of the conversation that you need to control is everything that goes around about your brand, about your company name. Okay. So you need to know what people are seeing when they type your company name, your city, and the word reviews, and your company name and your city. And then you need to control that. Okay. If there's bad stuff in there, you need to reach out to those websites and find how you can put your take, your opinion on that. Okay. If there's nothing on there and it's not even your company, there's other companies that are like yours that have a similar name, but your stuff isn't up there. You need to make sure the about page on your website has a title tag of your company name, your city. Okay. You need to then go and create a page or a blog post on your page where you have testimonials. That's your company name, city, with the word reviews as your SEO title tag. So that starts to rank high for those phrases. Then you need to create a video on it. You need to take some of your credibility and testimonials from your clients and optimize it. This, your company name, your city, with the word reviews, and then dash, you know, XYZ client, how we help them. Okay. You need to start to control that conversation. Does your site look good to the eye and is easy to use, especially on mobile, like I said? Is your phone number easy to find? Is it easy to opt into? Make sure your phone number is not wrapped into the image of your logo. Someone can't tap that and call you. Okay, is your message clear? How can you help them? Open Doors message is very, very clear. We're going to help you avoid the hassles of listing with an agent. We're going to make you an offer. Here's exactly how we make you an offer and how we calculate it, so you're not in the dark. We're going to pass you through this online process to create that offer for you. And then you can go out there and do what you want to do with that offer. Okay. I mean, they're very clear about their messaging. Are you walking people through in a very clear way so they know exactly what it's going to be like to work with you? Okay. Exactly what it's going to be like to work with you. How can you do that? Do videos. Okay. Do videos on your website that cracks through that clutter, that shows, okay, hey, this is Mark. Sitting here at the closing table, actually with Sherry, one of our clients. And a lot of people ask, you know, what's the closing process look like when we buy a home? Well, I'm just going to film it really quick. Sherry said it was cool. So let's walk through it. So when we buy your house, here's these documents that we're going to have you sign. Here's this one. Here's this one. It takes about 15 minutes to go through all these, and we're not going to go through them all in this video, but here's this, here's this, here's this. And Sherry, you know, what have you thought about this process so far? Has it been clean? Has it been clear? Has there been anything at all that you weren't sure about? And let Sherry talk. Now that really helps to demystify the process. Okay. Hey, this is Mark, you know, with ABC Properties. We get a lot of questions from people asking how we come up with our offers for our properties. Okay. So we thought, you know, one of our core values is transparency. So we want to make sure to walk you through exactly how we come about our offers, how we make them make sense for our clients and for us. And here's how we do it. And you're on the whiteboard there. You're on a piece of paper or whatever it is. You're walking through how you actually calculate offers. Okay. Can you imagine being a prospect that lands on a website that looks great, that seems credible, but you're still unclear how the process works versus one that has some videos on it that walks through that stuff? Every day of the week, they're going to work with the company that has those videos that builds a connection with them. That I can see that face. I can hear the voice. They sound credible. It's positive credibility marks. They sound credible. They look credible. They're in an environment with good lighting. Okay. The video's done well. It doesn't have to be crazy professional. It's just done well. Okay. Are your images clean? Do they build trust? Are they localized? Okay. Only use social media, like I said, if it's credibility positive. If it's not, get it off of your website until you focus on getting some more likes, some more reviews, some more consistent updates in your social media profiles. Okay. Is your about page actually set up to build connection with you? One of the biggest things we found with our company, guys and gals, is we love putting our mission and our core values all over everything. Okay, we have these little notepads that we use internally, these little paper notepads that we use to write notes on. We send them to customers and send them to clients. At the bottom of it, it has a link that has one of my favorite core values on it, be a beacon of positivity and possibility, and it links to the rest of our core values on our website. And I was on a Carrot coaching call just 2 weeks ago, and one of the clients up there, he said, hey, what can I do to make my website perform even better? And I'm like, awesome, let's take a look at it. One of the first things I look at is people's about pages, because our data shows us that that's where your prospects are clicking to find out and vet and see if they want to work with you. Okay. His about page had a couple basic things on it. It had a picture, but the picture looked funky. It wasn't clear. It was kind of cropped weird. So I know those are all little nitpicky things, guys and gals, but those are things we can help you with. Those are things we can help you with. Those are things that your prospects subconsciously have happening in their brains where it can help them guide them down the path to work with you or not. Okay. But then I asked him, I said, awesome, I'm going to ask you this question. What was it about Carrot that made you want to work with us? And he said, man, I checked out your website and everything. It looked like you guys could solve the problem really well. You guys were like the professional solution, and there were a bunch of testimonials. But also, I so resonated with your core values. Like, your core values are what sold me. I'm like, dude, why don't you have core values on your about page then? If you were sold on Carrot because of our core values, why do you not have core values that you believe in at your core that you put all over your marketing so you can connect with your prospects better? He's like, man, good point. Okay. I know it sounds corny stuff, guys and gals. And do you have to have your core values on your website to win in the game? Heck no. Okay. I don't think Open Door does. I don't think, you know, some of the other guys do, but they are overcompensating with other parts of the equation. They're overcompensating with transparency, with professional, with changing their business model, with changing their unique selling proposition. So it's completely different. Okay. What are you going to overcompensate with? If you don't have those other things, we need to overcompensate on credibility. Okay. What's unique to only you tell that story? If you're a newer investor and you think, man, there's nothing unique to me. I'm doing the same business model. I'm in the same market. I'm doing this. I'm using the same postcards. Well, you're going to have a really tough time. You're going to have a damn tough time building a real business that gets you that freedom that you want in your life if you don't come up with something that's unique about your business to stand out. I'm just being frank. This is like business 101, maybe 201. Okay. You have to have an offering that stands out in your prospects' minds as a better offering to them. What is it? Is it the way, is it your process, the way that you present an offer? Is it your follow-up process? Is it like Martin, where they're like, we're just going to be the most credible and on-point company in the industry? We're going to show up in our polos. We're going to be on time. We're going to set appointments. We're going to have great follow-up. We're going to make offers that are fair. We're going to explain why they're fair. And we're going to explain why they're that price. And we're going to be real. Tell that story. Okay. Do you have third-party badges on there that can help you with credibility, with cracking through that clutter? Better Business Bureau. We've tested it. If you put it in the right spots on your website, it can increase your performance. Okay, if you're a veteran, there's badges out there that you can get that say veteran-owned business. Put those somewhere on your website. Those are good little credibility, positive credibility marks. Chamber of Commerce, are you a member of the chamber? If you are awesome, put it on your website somewhere. Okay, are you a real estate agent and you have a great Zillow rating? Beautiful, get that damn Zillow rating all over your website. That's a big deal because people want to have to do as little work as possible to make a decision on the company that they should work with. And if you can help them make that decision by building the credibility and putting that credibility in front of them, you're helping make it easier to work with you. Okay? Does your site look active? Are you putting out content on a consistent basis? It could be weekly. If you're an investor care member, use the darn content pro system. If you're in our core plan, upgrade to the content pro system just for the fact that you get access to the content pro system. You can put out weekly articles, even if you don't care about SEO at all. This helps you with credibility. Okay, there's a bajillion things that we can do, guys and gals, to cut through that clutter. And there's another call I'm going to do on how do you niche down your messaging to really, really speak to one segment of the market and own that segment? Because a lot of people are trying to own the entire segment. They're trying to own the entire segment of, I can wholesale houses, I can flip houses, I'm a real estate agent in this area. But what if you own a segment? As an example, this is a little preview to what we'll be talking about. This is also another way to cut through the clutter in the market. When I bought my house out here in the river, kind of taking a full circle on the whole story arc, when we bought our house in the river, I had a real estate agent who also had a house in the river. His in-laws have a house in the river half a mile away from my house. Okay, so what happened was when I was working with them, it was really easy for him to notice all of these things that I should be noticing because we live on the same river. He's like, man, what about the water situation? Let's look at the well. That's really important. What about this? Hey, what about that? Hey, you want to make sure to do this. Hey, here's what my water treatment system looks like, my water filtration system. Yeah, I'm going to go check and see if you're in the floodplain so I can check and see if you need insurance. We're going to look at this. We're going to look at that. This real estate agent, guys and gals, we could not have bought this house without their help, without getting completely stressed out or wasting dozens and dozens of our own time, dozens of hours of our own time. So what should they do? They should niche down a part of their messaging to say, hey, we are the agents to work with if you're looking to buy a house on the North Umpqua River. Okay, why? Because here it is. We own a house and have owned a house on the river for 20 years. Our in-laws have a house and have owned it for 50 years. We've sold dozens of houses on the river. And here's the 14 things you should look for before you ever think about making an offer on a house on the North Umpqua River. And here's a five-part video series that walks you through the five most important things you need to look for when you're buying a house on the river. Can you imagine if you're a real estate agent competing against that for someone who's looking to buy a house on the river? And your prospects saw that and they saw your messaging, there's no way you would win. There's no way. Because that prospect would see that river, that person that niched down their messaging to, I am an expert on river houses, not just any river, the North Umpqua River. They niched it down. They immediately became the expert. They immediately became the expert that cut through the clutter, that now they have a higher value. And even if I knew the other agent, I'm like, man, I don't know if the other agent really has the experience to help me with this. I'm going to contact these people anyway because I really think that they're better suited to work with me. Okay, so how can you niche down? If you're an investor, can you niche down to probate? And I'm not saying you have to do just probate. Create messaging that helps you own the probate mind space. Create pages on your website that talk about the 14 ways, you know, to avoid mistakes during selling a house in probate. Have a three-part video series that walks through the exact probate process in Houston, Texas, and how they can avoid the mistakes and the pitfalls and how they can sell a house effectively. And market that online. Okay, what can you do to crack through that clutter? Well, guys and gals, this podcast is probably getting long enough already, and I probably gave you 100 million different talking points to start to get at, to go with. But check out the show notes if you're listening to this on the audio version. If you're listening to this on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever else, check out the show notes at carrotcast.com and find this one, okay? You'll be able to find the show notes. You'll be able to find the example of the ad, the piece of paper that we got from Terra Firma, the whole process. How can you control that communication process between the time that you set an appointment and you actually get there? How can you completely pre-sell your company, cut through the clutter, developing a better follow-up process? That's one question. Okay, next, how can you be so good they can't ignore you? What are you currently doing? And you need to really have an amazing heart-to-heart with yourself. If there's nothing that you can point in your business that you're doing so good that your prospects can't ignore you, then you're probably going to be struggling and you're probably going to be out of business this time next year. Okay. Just being frank. So how do you make sure you don't go out of business? You pull up your big girl or big boy pants. You really dig down and think about what is your business strategy? What's my strategy as a business and how I am going to most uniquely solve this problem for our clients? Okay. Even if there's 1,000 other wholesalers or flippers in my market, I can come up with something that's my version of my unique offering to my clients. With Martin's, once again, his business model is not unique. Okay. There's a ton of wholesalers in Phoenix, but Martin is the guy who's developed great marketing tactics. He's created great systems. And then he said, you know what? Our strategy is we're going to be the most credible. We're even going to name our business this, okay? The Trusted Home Buyer. And we're going to, at every step of the way, be the ones who are the most trusted. We're going to be the most professional. We're going to show up on time. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. That's our strategy. How do you guys do that yourselves? Okay. And then once again, go through and always look at kind of those positive and negative credibility marks in your credibility score. And if you're not sure, have someone else ask you to do it. Okay. Have someone else ask you to do it. And we're going to be diving into this topic in a lot more detail on some blog posts, on some trainings. And I want to even create probably a free report or something that walks through how to really come up with the credibility score and probably the 40 things to look at, the 40 things that I look at, and then actually give you a scale on what's a good credibility score and what's not. Because in this market, I'm not joking, guys and gals, credibility and trustworthiness is going to trump tactics all day long in a crowded market. In an uncrowded market, all you've got to do is have an offering that seems like it can solve the person's problem and seem like you're not an axe murderer, and you can probably get business. In a crowded market, that's not the case. Okay. So guys and gals, check out the Carrot Cast, other episodes of the Carrot Cast at carrotcast.com. We've got some amazing episodes coming up for you. And go back and listen to our other ones in the archives. Okay, the one with Martin Bonesire on how he cracks through that market in Phoenix is amazing. Okay, it's a really, really good example. The one with Ryan, I think it's our second episode. He actually is a marketer, but also a great investor. He's showing you how he's doing his ads in a completely different way, even using newspapers. Guys and gals, it's cracking through the clutter in his market. He's becoming the most trusted advisor, the most trusted source when people see his ads. How is he doing it? And go back there into our archives. I think it's, like I said, episode 2, 3, 4, or 5. Okay, and how are we using content marketing? We have an amazing episode on content marketing with my friend and content marketing expert who works with us here at Carrot, Aaron Orndorff. How do you use content then to crack through that clutter? And I'm going to leave you with this. Go over to iTunes and subscribe to the Carrot Cast. Give us a rating. Let us know what we're doing right. Let us know what we're doing wrong. That's what helps fire us up and keep us doing episodes like this and keeping them free. So please give us the feedback. Take 30 seconds and go do that on iTunes, on Stitcher, on our blog, wherever it is that you're listening to this. Okay. If you're not subscribed yet, subscribe on iTunes because we release these episodes 1 to 3 weeks before you'll ever see them on our blog. Okay. So go subscribe on iTunes. But last but not least, how serious are we about building an amazing business that serves us, that serves our clients, that's fun, that we have a clear differentiator in our market, and that builds an amazing income stream for us and our families and our team members? How serious are we? If we're not serious enough to tackle the things I've talked about on this episode, the tough stuff, this is not easy stuff. Okay, this is stuff that a lot of people are going to ignore, and they're going to go like, you know what? I'll tackle that later. Let me go get that pay-per-click campaign going. Okay, but if you ignore this at the expense of going out there and learning tactics when you don't have this down, you're going to be putting money in, you're going to be piling money down the chute that's not coming back to you. You're going to be wondering why things aren't working. You're going to be looking at even other people who are doing things similar to you, and you're going to be wondering why. Okay. And oftentimes you might not know why. So you might have to reach out to someone like us and say, hey, honestly, I'm not sure why it's not working. Can you let me know? Like, can you look at my stuff from a third party perspective? If you're a Carrot customer, that's exactly what our Tuesday Carrot coaching calls are for every single Tuesday at 11 o'clock Pacific time. Come on those calls, hit us with those tough questions, hit us with those questions, say, hey, I'm doing pay-per-click and it's not working like it should. Hey, I'm ranking at the bottom of page one. How do I get it higher? Hey, can you take a look at my website? Is my website dialed in my market to help me cut through the clutter? We are here to help you as your experts. And that's why we focus so much, guys and gals, on customer success, on doing the things right, because we want to see you succeed. All right. So guys and gals, have an amazing week. Go cut through that clutter. Go cut through that clutter. Find your pulse of what your calling is in your market. How is it that you're different than everyone else in your market? And how can you deliver that message differently? We're here to help you. All right. Have an amazing week. We'll talk soon.